and welcome to episode 60 of All the Horrible Things. It's hosted by the one and only Chris Spagnosi and me, Oldie Ninja.
I was going to say, you've got a name. It's not just me.
Well, it's me to me. I don't know me to anybody else, but it is me to me.
No, I've never called you me.
That's true.
Tell everybody what we're talking about today, because I like this. It's like a companion piece to something we've done in the past.
Indeed, it's been a while. But back in the day, I think within our first 20 casts, we did the top 10 scariest Batman villains. I can't remember if it was in tandem with anything that was Batman related coming out with the time.
It may have been the most recent
the Batman.
Matt Reeves.
Yes.
The Batman.
It was connected to that. So this time, this last Friday, Across the Spider-Verse came out. Sony and Marvel's collaboration animation of Spider-Man, which I personally think is the best incarnation of Spider-Man on the silver screen ever.
Wow.
Ever, by far. It's a little long. It's 20 minutes too long. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. Granted, I wouldn't consider it horror-worthy on its own to do a cast on it all by itself, even though there are horrific elements within it. I don't think people associate Spider-Man in horror that don't read the comics, because what we're doing today is the top 20 scariest Spider-Man villain.
Right. I think Spider-Man's closest, I mean, aside from some of the villains being scary in themselves, the closest Spider-Man on the screen has ever been to horror has been Sam Raimi's,
some of them were good. Spider-Man 3 when he's dancing. You're talking about that horrific moment.
That's what I'm talking about. But Sam Raimi, in my opinion, is one of the greatest horror directors of all time. So that's like a horror adjacent. We have a horror director who directs Spider-Man.
That
movies.
Is
and
a
now,
good point.
Dr.
And
Strange.
He made some Spider-Man villains, which I wouldn't even consider that scary, legitimately scary, a la Doc Ock, because I'm going to come out and say it now. Doc Ock is not on my list because I'm looking at all Spider-Man villains. And while Raimi was able to make him scary in Spider-Man 2, I wouldn't consider him one of the scariest. Well, that's me.
That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about today.
But I did want to state up front, I have seen it. You haven't seen it. And I think at least one of the two villains that are featured in Across the Spider-Verse would have made my list. But because you haven't seen it, we don't want spoilers out there about what they do. And because they're characters I don't think most people know about. One being The Hole. This is also known as Spot. And he's voiced by Jason Schwartzman, which you would think right there then alone wouldn't make him all that scary.
Right. You'd think that'd be comedic, right? That sounds comedic to me.
But he is. He does end up being pretty freaking frightening, world collapsing in a way. And then there is all this business where, you have essentially this Spider-Verse, if you will, a world where all like the top Spider-Men work together to kind of save things. A la what goes down in like Loki, if you watch the Loki show, where there's that TVA or something where they are able to kind of like look at all the timelines and such. But there's one Spider-Man in that called Miguel O'Hara, who is legitimately scary. And he would have made my list. The Hole, I'm not sure about, but Miguel O'Hara in that is frightening.
Now, I had heard of... I haven't read a comic in some time now, but I had heard of the character Miguel O'Hara, which means I think that's why he was, so popular to be in the most recent movie there.
He's very
I'd love to know
looking compared to our normal Peter Parkers.
Or a Miles Morales.
Or Miles Morales, indeed. Yes, he's got this very chiseled, blocked face, and he's willing to kill. That's for sure. And in a way that Spider-Man is not, it's a dark Spider-Man. At the same time, he's very righteous and thinks what he's doing is the right thing to do. But let's talk our lists, which I think for the most part are not really rooted in what the movies have done. I think we can tap into some of the portrayals and why they add to why they might have made the list. But we're going to go up from 10 to 1. Each of our lists, we don't know each other's lists. And I want to hear what your number 10 is.
Well, funny enough, it's Doc Ock.
Doc Ock. All right. I made the list.
Now, this is funny enough. You had just said that you thought the movie version was scary, but I always thought the cartoon version in the 90s, he always creeped me out, and it was because with those glasses, you couldn't see his eyes, and he had that weird Moe Three Stooges haircut.
Haircut alone. Yes.
It's terrifying. Terrifying. No, there's something terrifying about the fact that this man isn't in control of his own body, and that these, though the arms always scared me. You know, could you imagine being grabbed by one of those? The strength of those arms could just crush you.
Yeah, you're right. In that sense, it is. And we got to keep in mind that a lot of these Spider-Man villains are rooted in some sort of animal derivative, right? And frankly, if you get out in the ocean, you're dealing with a squid or an octopus that wants to take you down. I would almost rather take on a shark, personally, because you can go for the eyes, right? You punch it in the nose. But punch if an octopus nose. Out in the sea wants to get its tentacles on you, it's going to suck you dry, and there's not a lot you can do if it's your size, you know? So that's the animal itself, 10. I'm with you, is freaking scary.
What's your 10?
My number 10 is maybe one people aren't super familiar with. He first popped up in the comics in the spring of 1963, and he's known as Chameleon. Have you heard of Chameleon?
I have heard of Chameleon.
So this is, I guess he's Russian. His name is Dmitry Smerdyakov. And if people remember back to my top 10 of Clayface, I want to say Clayface might have taken the number one slot for me. And he is essentially Spider-Man's Clayface. Granted, there's not all the acting bits, but Chameleon is a master of disguise, and he has the capacity to look like anyone. And some of the horrible things he's done is he was the one to first inspire Kraven the Hunter to hunt Spider-Man, right? We got this movie coming out, I think, next year, just Kraven the Hunter centric. He also did some really sadistic things, like create androids of Peter's parents, which I think is, you know, pretty psychologically horrifying.
It's diabolical.
It is. He also tried to drive Spider-Man insane at one point, and he used Peter Parker to ultimately blow up City Hall. So he does have some manipulative capacities. But for me, it just boils down to when you don't know that you're dealing with a villain and they come around and as someone else, you know what I mean? That's legitimately scary to me. The shapeshifters are always going to make my top 10 list because they can be anybody.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's, he, not only is he a shapeshifter, he's a master of impersonation, I believe. So he's, you For can't sure. trust that. You cannot
Remember
trust
him from the cartoons though. Did he make an appearance in animated Spider-Man? Notably?
He must have. Yeah.
Should I jump into my 9 and we'll go to your 9?
Sure.
So my 9, I think, is it's a staple of the franchise, and that's Kirk Connors as the Lizard. Granted, he's at the bottom of the list because he's not like overtly sadistic, would I say.
Right.
Kirk Connors, a lot of the Spider-Man villains, they're really smart, and they usually start off as like scientists or professors or something along those lines, as he does.
Yes.
First appeared in winter of 1963, similar to Chameleon. So they were kind of released around the same time, interestingly, you know, with the two lizards, the Lizard and Chameleon. But some of the things that makes him scary on my radar is that he messes with Peter's actual life, and then he frames him for robbery. He creates other supervillains himself. He created the Iguana. The thing that he did that I think is the absolute worst and makes him really belong on this list is that he killed and he ate his own son, which is pretty bad.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Unforgivable. He's a real jerk for doing that. And he experiments on humans. He inspired a riot that also involved people acting reptilian themselves. So imagine all these people doing very, you know, heartless, mindless sort of, you know, reptile things. You know, people think there's a reptilian race out there. So,
lizard people. And the idea that one man or man lizard wants to turn everybody else into a reptilian army is just disgusting.
And as we've discussed many times on the show, one of the things that does get to me is large lizard like alligators and crocodiles used to be my reoccurring nightmares, right? So you have
I've talked about that
man that is a crocodile, essentially. Speaking of which, something that looks a lot like the Lizard just popped up on the new season of Sweet Tooth. Not to digress too much, but are you watching Sweet Tooth?
I'm not. Maybe I should.
You should. It's really interesting because it's ultimately a very similar to what goes on in a lot of these Spider-Mans. Human-animal hybrid things, and we get introduced to our first like crocodile human and named Peter, and he's just horrifying to look at. Lizard's my number nine. What do you got at nine?
Flint Marko the Sandman.
Sandman
creeps me out because he's got the ability to just, you know, basically control his size.
Right. Yeah.
And he can shapeshift as well, like your fear there. He's got enhanced strength. He can basically absorb the things around him and manipulate them because, and we saw this in the movie version played by Thomas Hayden Church, but the, you know, like blocks, building blocks, bricks, stuff have sand as one of its major components. So the fact that he, I don't know, the idea of just turning massive and, it's like a, you know, like almost like a kaiju.
You're right. No, the imposing nature of him, I'm completely with you. Why he didn't make my list is because he has a very sympathetic backstory.
His daughter,
and I don't,
right.
He's and his motives are usually money and security sort of thing. And to me, he's not going out there to kill people to kill people. If you remember in that Spider-Man 3, he's like, get away from me, Spider-Man. I don't want to hurt you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Most of the ones that make my list want to hurt Spider-Man and murder people.
Yeah.
But you're right. He is like a kaiju in terms of strength. If we were doing the strongest, I think he's making that top 10 list without a question.
Yeah. I don't know. Just something about the fact that, you know, over time, I think you sort of lose that human aspect. So I think
that's fair.
Yeah.
I could see that. He's such a memorable shirt too. He's kind of like, he's got the Freddy Krueger stripes just with the yellow and green instead of the red and green. So I don't know.
Yeah. And we've seen different versions of him. And I think a lot of the time he's portrayed as kind of a dummy.
Yeah. Cause he's really a thief at heart, right? So yeah, I can't be too scared of people that are motivated by money. Motivation is really what gets down to it for scare for me. Yes. Looks do have a lot to do with it too. As we'll talk more about in our next cast, I think voice is really important because we're going to talk about other villains that are animated. Not the very lead, but what is your eight then?
My number eight is Quentin Beck Mysterio. And Mysterio, I don't think the movies, you know, like the Jake Gyllenhaal version of him wasn't as terrifying. There's a point where he obviously kind of goes off the rails, but the fact that he can basically put you into your own nightmare, kind of like the Scarecrow and Batman's world, the idea of, you know, creating deception, manipulating like your perception of reality is terrifying.
I totally see that.
He's basically a nightmare.
He is like a nightmare, and especially because, what was it, this week was the Apple Pro Vision Pro was released, and ultimately that's what he's able to do without the hunking piece of equipment on your face. He is able to distort your reality and do whatever he wants with it. Again, he didn't make my list, only because his motives they're more like power-based, you know what I mean? And
I
don't feel like he himself is necessarily a bad guy. I think he's a misguided character more than anything else. Certainly the fishbowl head is not scary to me either. His look doesn't really scream scary to me, but his capacity to distort your reality is certainly...
And I think a large part of fear in our list is subjective. It's, you know, I'm glad our list isn't the same. That would be very boring.
Yes.
I imagine our top five might be a little bit more, in line.
It's possible. But, I know at least one or two will be.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I think I was going for... different types of fear that these characters can create.
And ultimately, he can induce fear more than anybody else, maybe. Like, because he can hone in on what you personally are scared of. Like you said, like with the Scarecrow. And I would almost argue he has Riddler capacities too. I'm reminded of like Jim Carrey's Riddler in, you know, the Batman Forever, where he does have that same sort of capacity to just like suck your mind in. You're right. He was a contender on my list. Didn't quite make it. I kind of, when I was thinking about mine, was thinking also about like contemporary relevance. And while some of the characters on my list might not have as big of a showing in the movies and the animation, I feel like my number eight, Screwball, could have her own film. It's a very interesting character in that she's the first supervillain that live streams. She's a live streaming supervillain that uses Spider-Man and the horrible things that she does. She tries to get him to come in so she gets more hits. So this is a different sort of, it's a power in a way, but it's more of this like fame hunger. And when I think about how obsessed our culture is with reality programming now, influencers essentially making crazy bank for what sort of thing. That to me, while she might not be as imposing as someone like Mysterio, what she could mean to warping the minds of those who watch her in a more real way is super scary to me. Granted, she's not in enough stuff. I would consider her a second tier in just in terms of the breadth that of things she's been. She didn't even pop up until summer of 08. So you really can't compete with villains who've been around since the 60s versus 2008. But I just think the nature of what these newer ones like Screwball are tapping into and saying about our own contemporary society scares me. Like, I'm glad I don't have kids because I would be worried about them being, you know, fans of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That would horrify me.
Does Screwball have a vendetta or issue with Spider-Man?
It's fame hunger in a way that I don't really associate with any other Spider-Man villain. Fame, you know, the desire to be loved in a different, like almost a zealous sort of way. There's like that almost religious, theological, like need to be worshipped in her that scares the heck out of me, that I don't see a lot of other ones needing like she does. It's this neediness and emptiness. It kind of pops up in The Hole in the Across the Spider-Verse too. He has similar aspects of like, there's that void in him that I feel like is in her. It can absolutely be dangerous to society when you're trying to fill up that emptiness inside you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Let me bounce to my seven because it's another lesser known one. And it really has, again, to do with what's going on now in society and why I consider it scary. Because if you look at this character, you're not going to think he's that scary. It looks like the robot from Lost in Space. It's the Living Brain. And the Living Brain is essentially, it's 1964 was it when initially popped up. And essentially, this is just your AI that has the capacity to just like nuke the world. So to me, only simply because this is something that is real and now and scares the bejesus out of me. And when you got like the father of AI talking about how we should shut it all down, this is going to lead to the end of humanity. The Living Brain is that AI to the extreme that also, when taking on Spider-Man, can compute so mad, has all the algorithms, all of them, that he can anticipate exactly what Spider-Man's going to do. And he's essentially not only known as the Living Brain, but he's your brain too, because he can anticipate what you're going to do. And that's scary. And of course, he's a robot that goes on murderous rampages. So
yeah, which, you know, you compared this or you're talking about this version from the 1960s. This is so relevant, though, right now, that this character could be in the next movie with AI. And yeah,
that's look terrifying. Like this one, because it does look like the Lost in Space guy from the photos that I was looking at. But I
guarantee they would do some sort of update. But it's also very similar to, you know, what Iron Man did with
Vision.
The Jarvis. Yes. Well, originally that it was, you know.
Ultron. Yeah, was the spinoff. Ultron. You're absolutely right.
Thank you. That's Ultron. True. So it was. It would be. Yeah.
Very similar. So what you got there?
Well, yeah, this is probably not on your list then, but because of my fear of birds, I put the vulture on there. And this is not...
Okay, all right.
This is not the Michael Keaton version. I love Michael Keaton. I couldn't be scared of Michael Keaton if he tried. This is the animated series again, because it was like this... the voice actor who did this, we talked about voices earlier, the voice actor, he's like, ah, Spider-Man.
And looks-wise, that's the one I'd most likely be cast as, right? The animated version. This old bald guy that...
Yeah. But he always creeped me out.
He is creepy.
Always
creeped. I'm with you on that. And I didn't... Tell me more about this fear of birds. I don't think you've talked enough about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is similar to your fear of, you know, alligators, crocodiles. Like, I've always had a fear of birds because they just, they're like baby dinosaurs, you know, they're always just flying around, and I don't trust them because they're dum-dums, their brains are tiny, and they land on you, they poop on you, look at Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. I mean, they've got the ability to peck out your eyes if you
I mean, that's completely fair. And even interestingly, on the news yesterday here in the Chicagoland area, there's a warning about these red-crested blackbirds whose mating season, and they will just dive bomb your head and claw your eyes out. So
see,
I get it.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
I totally get that. What do you have at six?
Six for me is Kingpin. I've always been weirded out by Kingpin. And most, again, not the TV version with D'Onofrio, Vincent D'Onofrio. The animated series, the version that you've seen in Into the Spider-Verse. Massive.
Massive. Very cool design on that one. He's a big brick house of a man.
Because in the show, you know, he's even appeared in Hawkeye. The show... Vincent D'Onofrio is more of a man. They try to show his strength, but they can't. Kingpin is also just ruthless. He is the crime lord. You know, like, this guy would do anything to get what he wants, and he would kill anybody. So my characters are starting to get more into the murderous version instead
of my
previous.
Kingpin's definitely on my list. Kingpin is frightening. He's at four for me. I completely agree. He's a very important, not only to the Spider-Man franchise, but he's one of these supervillains that touches the lives of so many of our heroes in the Marvelverse that alone, I think, kind of like ratchets you up a little bit. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's funny you have these two bald baddies in a row, right? Where I could play Vulture. I could not play Kingpin for the life of me.
For the record, this was not because they were bald.
Okay,
there's nothing
right,
to do with their baldness.
I notably only have the one bald man on mine. But Kingpin is super scary. First shows up in summer of 1967. So he's one of our old guys, Wilson Fisk. You know, he's a finger breaker. He's a neck snapper. Oh. He's a skull crusher. Literally does all of these things. And he's sadistic, too, in that he tries to kill Aunt May. You know what I mean? He wants to hurt you in the way that he's hurting because... You know, everyone knows that he's lost his love and it's all about, you know, pining. He's kind of like very unsympathetic Mr. Freeze in a lot of ways.
I was just going to say that Mr. Freeze, you know, when you add the removal of a loved one, people are unpredictable and probably will do whatever. It's kind of like Misery Loves Company type of a thing.
Very true. Very true. My number six then is Venom, which you probably have higher in the list because Venom is definitely, when I was a kid, I would consider one of the scariest ones. It would have probably made my top three when I was younger. However, I will say that he has lost his kind of like steam for me over the years. And as much as I love Tom Hardy, I really don't love those movies that much. I find they took away the scare for me. I really wish we could get some rated R Venoms where the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing isn't as overt, sort of. But that being said, Venom pops up in 1988. And did he make a splash or what? This character, I think, has almost become more popular than Spider-Man. I have an interesting story about Venom because back when I was a kid, I used to play this game. It wasn't Pokemon. It wasn't Magic, but it was Marvel's version of those called Overpower. Did you remember Overpower at all?
I don't.
It was very similar to those in that you'd try to get these character cards in the, you know, the little trade packs where you'd get 12 to 15 cards in it, and you just cross your fingers that you'd get one of these amazing characters that you could then use to fight with. And right. I'll never forget, it was me and my friend Alan at the time dying to get Venom so much. And I had bought a pack and, you know, boo-hoo, didn't get what I wanted. And Alan had enough money to get one more pack here at this comic shop, but he was short a quarter. He just needed that quarter for that tax and more. And I said, Alan, I'll give you this quarter, today, my last quarter. But if Venom's in the pack, I get it. Anything else? But if by some miracle Venom is in this overpower pack, it's mine. And you better believe Venom was in that pack. And I still have that card to this day. And he was so upset that I made him follow through with it that his mother called my mother that night demanding that I give it back to him. And it wasn't happening. There was no way he was getting that back. That being said, he ended up getting Spider-Man a few weeks later, which is another impossible one to have. So when we did have our battles, I was the evil one because I, you know, took advantage of him. And then he got his, you know, karma in getting Spider-Man. But anyways, I digress. Well, Venom is definitely scary because in his debut, he kills a cop. He kills four of Peter's friends at his school in one series. He eats Spider-Man in another series. He drove his own wife to suicide. At one point, he makes Eddie Brock even become a cannibal when he's Eddie Brock. So this is our character that eats people, both as Venom and as Eddie Brock at one point. And then he releases Null. I don't know if you know about this character, Null. And if I knew more about it, he probably would have made my list. But Null is the one who made all the symbiotes. He is like the creator, the god of the symbiotes, if you will. So Venom is scary. And other symbiotes we might talk about later are scary. And Null's going to be, he's pretty freaky too. But I digress. Venom obviously is in yours. Where did he pop up?
Venom is number three for mine.
Fair. And that's fair.
Yeah. And you know what? When we get to it, I won't jump into it too much, but it is in line with what you're saying. It has more to do with the comic version instead of the humorous version. And I'm a big fan of when movies take the villain as the lead, you know. It's the anti-hero works in our society right now. And I love Tom Hardy as well, but I don't know if this was the right route, you know? I mean, and they haven't done that well. They haven't done that well. It's the same thing with Morbius. It's like,
did you even watch that? I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, I did. I did.
That's what makes me worried about Kraven the Hunter and Madam Web, which are both like singularly Sony productions that more feel like cash grabs to me, and making sure they use the IP before they lose it, use it or lose it sort of thing. I don't necessarily have faith they're going to be good. And I loved Kraven. I've always wanted Kraven to be a big bad in a film, but I'd rather him be a big bad in an actual Spider-Man film than his own, I would say. I'm curious how that's going to go.
Right.
But my five then is the Jackal, who's also known as Miles Warner, pops up, another 1965 villain. He wasn't liked at first, but as the years have gone on, he's become scarier, only because he's kind of like a Mr. Sinister is to the X-Men. And this guy has become a master cloner. So he's the one that makes Ben Reilly, which is a Spider-Man clone, a Peter Parker clone, rather. And in making that, it's reminiscent of Alien Resurrection, and that he creates and kills Ben Reilly, this Peter Parker clone, 26 times. So that's horrific in itself. I can just imagine all these like half Peter Parkers in tubes, like in Alien Resurrection. He's kind of creepy in the fact that he gets obsessed with a student that he has. He's a master manipulator, certainly a murderer as well. He released this is going to scare Amara, in that he released giant bed bugs on Manhattan that, you know, slaughtered people. And bed bugs is like one of our scariest real life fears.
Absolutely, they should be.
Yes, they're horrible.
They're disgusting.
And he also releases the carrion virus, which kills a whole town, which kind of makes people zombie-like. And he decimates the bee population for fun. So this guy,
He's just rude.
It's some deep cuts he's doing there with some of his maneuvers. And a lot of people don't know about the Jackal. So I think I think he's pretty scary. I do.
This is some real villain stuff right here. Classic villain stuff when you release, you know, bugs.
And kill the bees. Not the bees.
And kill bees. I mean, we need the bees.
We do.
Oh, gosh. My number five is the lizard, and we don't need to dive too much into there. The lizard, it's just the fact that you can, like, regrow limbs. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
It is. No, I'm with you on that. He made my list, for sure. What's your four?
Hobgoblin.
Okay.
Yeah, my number four is Hobgoblin, mostly because of the, not a lot of my other villains on my list are because of their look, but the Hobgoblin is like, especially some, you know, specific interpretations of him are just horrifying with the giant red eyes.
And just the idea of him being like the progeny of Norman Osborn and having this horrible history to kind of digest and... You know, the second gen of horror, if you will.
Absolutely. The cackling. And it's like we said early up top that a lot of these, you know, villains aren't, you know, too rooted in horror. But I think Hobgoblin is one of the characters, even the name Hobgoblin, but is one of the closest characters, like, visually that you'll get to horror and the spider.
I completely agree. Yes. Like legit horror film, scary look.
Yeah.
With you on that one. He didn't make my list, but I might have reconsidered it based on how you put it, because it's really a sins of the father villain that to me, that part of it really is scary when your life is determined by what your parents have done, you know, that in itself can really ruin somebody. So I get that. So my four was Fisk, like I said, was Kingpin.
Yep.
So my three is probably not one that made your list. It's Massacre. This is another new one from spring of 2011 is when he was born. This is another one kind of like Fisk in that there was a hit put out on him. His car exploded, kills his wife, and then he gets shrapnel in his head that's not going anywhere sort of thing, and he's put into an insane asylum, and he's essentially the most sociopathic villain in all of Spider-Man because he's a genius but has no emotions at all.
Right.
No emotions, which then kind of takes away his wife dying out of the picture because that's really not even an issue anymore. He doesn't really have any powers. He's just ultimately like a terrorist. This is scary to me. Massacre is scary to me because he's the sort of one that would go into a mall and shoot it up. You know what I mean? This is real life scary character to me. Maybe more than any of the other ones because there's no, you know, gamma rays or anything making him what he is. He's just sociopathic. Because of a brain injury, essentially, and has insane intelligence to just wipe out as many people as he possibly can with artillery or bombs, you know? So that scares me.
Definitely.
With a name like Massacre, too. Shit.
I think I already told you my... We're on three. Was Venom.
Right.
And again, we don't need to... dive down there too much. My number two, I think, maybe is on your list because it is one of the more rare ones, is Vermin.
No. Talk about Vermin.
Vermin is... the character's name was Edward Whalen. And, I mean, the guy is, like, rat-esque, you know? Like, he's grotesque and, like, lives in the sewers, eats in the sewers. He is, sadly, sins of our father, he was... a victim of childhood sexual abuse by the hands of his father.
Yeah.
It really set him. He has telepathic communication with other rodents. So controlling rodents is, it's very gross. It's very gross. But yeah, he lives in the sewers beneath New York City.
So he smells.
He stinks. He stinks. And like, if you saw an image of him, you know, he's, got that rodent type fur. His eyes are red. The teeth. He's got torn pants on. No shirt. The guy is, you know, he's horror movie.
He's a it's one that just kind of slipped my radar. I don't think about him enough. I don't. Was he in the animated series?
I don't think so. I don't think they got away with it just because of the content.
Okay.
You know, the backstory.
Yeah, his backstory alone is horrifying.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah, he deserves a slot. And if I wasn't doing more of like the metaphoric ones, like Living Brain or Screwball, he probably should take the cake over those. So I'm with you there.
Yeah, a rodent-like man. That's nightmare fuel, guys. Nightmare fuel.
I'm with you on that one. There is in the Suicide Squad that little rat creature, but he's more comedic, right?
Yeah.
It's not this guy. He's messed up for a minute. I'm worried my number two is going to be your number one based on what I'm hearing, but I'm not sure now. My number two is Norman Osborn, aka the Green Goblin.
That is my number two.
That's your number two?
That's my number two.
Oh, perfect.
That's my number two. And I know I went back and forth because it's, you know, the Hobgoblin, Goblin. I believe there's also in the Spider-Man universe, isn't there Demon Goblin, I think?
Yes, and there's another one I'm going to talk about.
Please.
But that's it's part of my number one, but I don't want
to. Yeah. I spoke to all of, you know, the Hobgoblin. So you jump into the Norman Osborn.
Norman Osborn probably should take number one in everybody's, but I do think there's one that surpasses him in terms of scare factor. But again, we're going to go back to the fact that his look alone could be a horror film, you know, based on just the look. The thing that takes him down a notch for me is the pumpkin bombs. Stupid. Never liked those.
Yeah.
I don't get those. Not a fan. I know it's a staple, but what makes him scary for me are the things that he does. Like he buries Aunt May alive. He fakes Aunt May's death at one point by getting an actress to play her and then killing that actress. That's horrible.
Yeah, again, diabolical.
That is diabolical. He does kill Ben Reilly, which is the clone of Spider-Man at one point. He frames Spider-Man for murder. He steals, I didn't even know about this, I gotta read this storyline. He steals Peter Parker and MJ's supposedly stillborn child. So they thought they had a stillborn kid, but in reality, Green Goblin snatches the real kid that is actually alive.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's scary. I don't like that at all. There's this ex of Peter Parker's, Carly Cooper, who works for the NYPD. He kidnaps hers and sprays her with something that just essentially makes her look horrifically ugly.
Yeah.
That's mean. That's just mean, Goblin.
That's just mean.
This is a weird one. People don't like this aspect of it. Everyone knows famously that he throws Gwen Stacy off the Brooklyn Bridge. But as it were, Spider-Man trying to save her, it was the snap of his web that breaks her back or snaps her neck or something. It's Spider-Man that technically is the one that kills her, even though Green Goblin sent her off. Everyone had sympathy for Gwen Stacy until it was later revealed that in Europe, Gwen Stacy got with the Green Goblin and they had twins together. So the Green Goblin was so sinister enough to kind of go and get his girlfriend and, you know, make babies. That's not nice.
That's really not cool.
Well, yeah, he's been around forever, right? He's the OG Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
And
he
can't not be one or two. And if it wasn't for the pumpkin bombs, he probably would have taken number one.
Well, do you want to do your number one?
I think it's probably yours based on what we're talking here.
No, it's not.
Cletus Cassidy's Carnage.
Carnage? 100%. No.
Let me explain why, and then you do your number
one. Please.
Spring of 1992 is when we first meet Carnage, and it's the things that he does that makes him scarier than Green Goblin for me. First of all, as a kid, he kills and tortures his mom's dog with a drill. He pushes his own grandma down the stairs, killing her. He burns down the St. Estes home for boys when he's a child. He's a kid murderer. Yep. He throws a baby out the window at one point to distract Spider-Man. He drove his own psychiatrist insane. He killed a restaurant full of people. He attacked all of Houston with little mini versions of himself that would just ravage them. In the Manhattan Massacre from Maximum Carnage, he turned citizens into a murderous mob that ended up slaughtering each other. He symbioted a whole town. He kills his own kids, his own spawn. He is a rapist. He's one of the most notable villains, which I can't think of anyone, at least Green Goblin and Gwen Stacy. There was consent there, as gross as it was.
Right.
Not when it comes to Cletus. He'll do what he wants. And then, as I noted, what could possibly be scarier than the Green Goblin? It's when the Green Goblin and Carnage combine, and you have the Red Goblin, which is essentially the Carnage version of the Green Goblin, which, you know, that's one and two combined, man. You can't.
Yeah,
that's scariest as it gets for me. But I digress. Yeah. What's your number one?
Well, you know, I had really thought about putting Carnage on there, but there was a strong feeling that he was going to be your one or two. So yeah. I put Swarm.
Oh, okay. I don't know enough about Swarm.
Swarm originally appeared in 1977. His character's real name is Fritz von Meyer, and he's a former Nazi scientist. So
that's not good.
Nazi scientist is, you know, like the villains, yeah. You know, like top tier villain level.
Right.
He physically, Swarm appears as a living mass of bees, forming a humanoid figure. He really is just a skeleton. Like, wow. If the bees were all to fly away from his body, you would just see his skeleton. But the bees kind of like...
It was Candyman-esque.
It is. It is. He's got super strength. He's got the ability to fly. Yeah, he controls all the bees that make up his body. Swarm can command his bees to attack, defend, shape into various forms, such as weapons. So he's kind of like... Also like... DC's Green Lantern,
oh, yes.
You know, where he can,
right.
Yeah, he can create, yeah. So he's also, you know, gone up against not just Spider-Man, but like the X-Men. And so he's a lesser known character who's done a lot. And just the idea of being made up of bees is creepy.
That's scary.
He's a Nazi.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's definitely Nazi scary. Bee. I just wonder what happened during the point in which Jackal decimated all the bees.
Well, not these bees. Not these bees. They had to have made some sort of deal. Let's make a deal. I get to keep my body.
Yeah, my magic bees. My evil magic bees. But you can get rid of the real ones.
Swarm.
This was good. We had so many divergences and a couple of overlays. Yeah. I love that we both had Green Goblin as number two.
I found it
fascinating. If you were to demand a villain in this third Spider-Verse that's inevitable, because as everyone knows, this one ends with a cliffhanger because they have that other one coming to be continued. Who would you like to see? I mean, what would be your dream one to...
Well, I think Swarm would be pretty cool just visually on camera. But there are some others that didn't make my list, that like The Thousand... basically a bunch of spiders. There's Sin Eater, Mind Worm. There are Toxin, who's kind of like Carnage.
Yes, Toxin is Carnage's kid. He's one of the kids that he kills.
Right. And I don't think, as much as I love Woody Harrelson, he was the right choice to play Carnage.
Again, with the Venom thing, I'm not counting that as part of what makes it scary. I love Woody Harrelson. And again, I think Woody Harrelson would have done a great job if it was a rated R movie and we really got a sense of who Carnage really is. But because it was, you had Scream in there too, and you had a Carnage romance that just didn't fly with me in terms of making him scary in that film.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think the way technology is going, I think they could actually come up with a really good-looking rhino who wasn't on my list, but I think you could get a pretty creepy-looking rhino going.
I just worry rhino's not scary. I know that wasn't the question. I just wonder, what is his motives? What is the rhino going to do to prolong the whole movie? Granted, we did get to see Paul Giamatti as him at the end of, I think, one of the Amazing Spider-Mans.
Yeah. But Paul Giamatti...
Like,
too many times Hollywood has gone for names instead of the right choice.
I agree.
You know, I mean, imagine Tom Hardy fought for that role, but like I said, Woody Harrelson is not Carnage. Paul Giamatti is not Rhino. A lot of the actors who have played other of the villains already, like, I like Jamie Foxx. He's a good actor. I didn't really like his casting choice.
Horrible.
I just think there are other actors out there who could be bringing something new.
You know what I find kind of ironic now that you mentioned, I love Woody, but he probably wasn't right for that role. He has a little too much like a gravitas in a way, because Carnage is Cletus Kasady is the actual person, supposed to be really wiry and kind of creepy in a way that I feel like Topher Grace was in the third one. Topher would have been a better Carnage than he was Venom, because Venom's supposed to be, you know, Eddie Brock's supposed to be a big guy like Tom Hardy, and Topher was the worst casting ever in any Spider-Man film. But he could have been a great creepy Carnage, if you especially remember back to his role in Predators, where he's that really, really creepy character in Predators. You remember Topher Grace? Right. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of a rapey guy in that one, too.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think we've done it here.
I think so, too.
And we thank
there
you
are
all
so
for
many
listening.
Other villains, too. Yeah.
As usual.
There's so many. Please.
I was just going to say, like and subscribe. And we thank you for bearing through some of the technical issues we've had in recent episodes. And we're going to hope to get that more on the ball consistently. But until then, before I drop it, anything else you got? Okay, no. Before then, y'all better stay alive.